Okay, so welcome to episode 7. This is going to be a really insightful episode where we are aiming to help those who have had their homes on the market for sale for at least 3, 4, 5 plus months. We've seen quite a bit of shift in the market over the summer, and there have been quite a few properties that have been online for a while and are really struggling to sell. The market's challenging. There's a lot of moving parts going on, and I think what we want to address is particularly to those who are trying to sell, what should your next steps be? And Rory and I really want to have just a really frank conversation with very clear action points and clear steps of advice on what you should do next. So, Rory, do you want to kick us off with what you think has maybe currently kind of gone on in the market at the moment and what we're seeing, and then we can kind of move on to those key tips.
Well, I think the difficult part is we've got the most properties on the market we ever had in 10 years. So that's you're competing against lots of other properties. We've also got a bit of uncertainty all across the market. So with that, you've got buyers and sellers not really sure what's happening. Throw in the mix, we've got agents that may be on a high street, that may not be on a high street, overpricing to win a listing, and then planning for the price drop. So yeah, people's having or they're planning for the price improvement.
They being the agents, you mean? So
A
agents
lot of the
launch.
time they'll launch high and then nothing will happen to get the listing and then drop the price to where it might be more realistic. But what we've had in the last 3 months is that market's really shifting. So the prices are really changing, and you have to be very price sensitive to get a property sold. And people that had properties on the market, say, for the last 4 or 5 months now, a lot of them, if they haven't sold, they've been overpriced. And then the owners are like, well, that's the price we want to get because we had viewings at that price. But it's shifting, so that price is not there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting what you talk about with the pricing of these properties, because you're right in that I think what we see is it's very competitive to get a property on to sell for someone. You've got a ton of high street agents, you've got a lot of independent agents, and it's just one of those really competitive markets where people are very, and obviously people selling their home are very price sensitive. This is their home, it's their asset, it's their investment, their retirement, their pre-forever home. It's hugely important to them. And so for that seller to pick an agent that has valued their property sometimes 200,000, sometimes 300,000 pounds, sometimes more, less than another agent, is a very difficult move and a totally understandable move why a seller would want to pick that agent who has valued the property really, really high, or at least at the highest amount. But I think what if you're selling a home, what's really important is that you work with an agent that provides you with evidence as to why that price is right. Because what we have seen now is quite consistently is the overpricing, particularly from certain high street agents. And that's just really disappointing because you set a seller's expectations totally wrong. And from then on, the whole experience takes too long to sell. They end up dropping it. And the records show that the longer a property sits on the market for, the less it sells for, the more likely it is to not sell at all. So what we kind of want to do is discuss picking up the pieces of that situation. So we've seen quite a few properties, and we've met someone this week actually who we've talked to who's had a really similar experience to this. The property was listed too high. And then there's all sorts of reasons as well why we think the property hasn't sold. And so we've had a conversation about this, and we're having this with quite a few different sellers at the moment. And so we want to just give some really quick tips as to what you need to think about as a seller and what needs to change. So I think a really good place to start is at the beginning, or what always should be discussed at the beginning, which is your strategy. So, like, what is your strategy to sell this home? So, do you want to give a bit of information as to like what that means and what the considerations are?
So we always say that it's a partnership between, it should be a partnership between the agents and the seller. There's many factors that come into the pricing strategy. The owner may need a set price for retiring, for their next purchase, for the next purchase and retiring. So they're downsizing and they need something to buy the prop money to buy the property, and then that's the rest of it's going to be their retirement fund. So that's discussion to be had, because that is that realistic? If it is realistic, great. Then we know what our lowest end is, and we know what our highest end could be depending on the stats. There's other situations where people have found their forever home and need to sell this place to buy their forever home. But once again, there's deposits to be had. So it's understanding and working together. What we find is lots of owners don't want to give that information initially, because they think you're just in there just to sell, which we are. But also, once we have a strategy set up together, we're all happy with, the process is a lot more comfortable. Because we know, right, this is a bit, we are going to go higher because some of the stats show you could sell at this price, so let's try it. That's the previous market. We're now, there's so many properties on the market, you've got to be price sensitive. So you've got to try and price your property to get the listing, to get the inquiries, because number of inquiries come in. Once you get the inquiries, then there's viewings. And once you get viewings, you get offers. And then it's down to the good agents to increase that offer and that negotiation side.
I think that's a really important point when you're like looking at the strategy of how you're going to sell your home. Obviously, everybody wants to get as much money as they can for their home, but how you price it does matter. You've got different categories on Rightmove where people search by their price. And so how you price it matters, because it's about getting eyeballs on your listings, particularly on Rightmove and Zoopla. So if you found your forever home, you've put in an offer, it's been accepted, but you have to sell your current property, you need to price your property competitively, because what you want to do is get lots of viewings in. You're under a time pressure, so you need to get your property sold. So for example, if you're going to sell your home and it's £2 million, or it's in the region of £2 million, what you don't want to do is put it on at something like something too 2.1. high, 2.1, or because
you're missing all the £2 million buyers.
Everybody that is looking for a £2 million home puts in £2 million or selects £2 million when they're searching for a property. And then they won't see that home because your property is listed at 2.1. So that's what we mean by strategy. So it's not that we're saying, oh, if you want to sell your home quickly, drop the price and you'll sell it quickly. But it needs to be priced right to get the most number of eyeballs on your home to sell. So having a conversation with your agent about that is really important, particularly at this point. So I think that's generally what strategy matters. It can also matter in terms of how you present the property and all those sorts of things as well. But really, at that point, price is a really important conversation. And also, if your home has been on the market for 3, 4, 5+ months, that's going to have to come up in conversation. You're going to have to look at what's sold in the area, what's comparable. Maybe nothing has sold, then the market's just very quiet. Maybe quite a few properties that are similar to yours have sold, but they sold for less. There needs to be a conversation around that. So I think that's what we mean by strategy. It's like looking overall at like, what's the current market doing? What do you need as well? What's the right way to kind of set your property up online to make sure that it gets the most number of eyeballs on that listing? What about presentation? What have you seen online at the moment with current listings and how that can impact getting properties sold?
Well, the marketing is a key, as you just said, with eyes on. Photos, videos will give you that. So what we mean is a property we saw this week, which is on the market, in our opinion, at probably the right price, but the marketing for it is not great. The photography is not great. The photos make it look smaller than it actually is. We know that the owners are not getting the feedback from the agents of why people are not offering on it, so much so that we got feedback from somebody that we know that saw it and he had never heard that before. So when we discussed it, actually the pictures from what the feedback we got was confirming what they said. So staging the property, now there's lots of forms of staging now. There's virtual staging, there's that physical staging. That's sometimes an option if it's an empty property. Is it worth getting quotes for works to be done? So everybody knows, because if properties need some upgrading, you set that example, you set that by getting a contractor in or an architect in and sort of presenting it so that you've got all the answers to what potentially will be seen as the negative feedback of the property.
Yeah, I mean, I think in just sort of going back to the photography and like the initial sort of presentation of the property.
I'm not sure why I'm answering the presentation, to be honest, when you're the marketing person, but
I think so what we see with a lot of properties online, as anyone else does if they're looking to buy, is they look at the photos. And the way the way a house is presented is huge. How a house is photographed is hugely important, because angles matter and how tidy a house is matters. And so when you look at a home, you get a first impression and you look at the price and you then look at the photo. And if the living room is taken, a photograph of a living room, actually angles are really important, particularly if you have a home that's somewhat long to a certain degree, which most homes are, particularly the open plan, kitchen, dining, living area. What's important is that you don't always take that front photograph, which shows the whole length of the room, because it can make a room look really thin. And that's what we saw in this particular house, is the downstairs looked so thin. And actually, it looked kind of short in the end. And so for the price that we were looking at, you're like, oh, this downstairs doesn't look that great. This property looks really overpriced. You also had a dining table and chairs that were kind of sitting right in the middle of the room, which was a really awkward place to sit. Like, no one generally would sit in the middle of your open plan kitchen dining room.
And the owners didn't have it like that when they lived there.
Yeah, when the owners lived there. Yeah, correct. The owners didn't actually live like that when they lived there. So that setup sets a really bad example, and it just doesn't show off the property as well as it could. And what that does, it reduces the number of people that click and go book a viewing. So if your property hasn't sold and it's been on the market for a long time, have a look at your photos with a really critical eye, or maybe ask a friend to come and have a look and be really honest. It's hard when it's your own home to be objective. You're generally really quite subjective. Or ask another agent, like, what's your impression of the photograph? Because if you've not got enough viewings in, that is a key indication that your home isn't photographed well enough. The other option as well that you should be considering is, have you got a video? Because if your photography is pretty good and it generally ticks the box and it shows off your home well enough, perhaps it's missing some key features. So, like, what would be the top five features of showing off your home? Do the photos do that successfully? If not, should you have a videographer that comes in that films them, or an agent that actually talks the potential buyers through these key highlights? So I think, again, if your home has been sitting on the market for a while, be really analytical about your photography and videography. Is it good enough? Are the angles good enough? Does it really show off what the property looks like? Because you can walk into a property having seen it online and think, oh, that looks a bit thin, that looks a bit small, and go, oh my gosh, this looks completely different to how it looked online. And if that's the case, it needs fixing. Because as Rory said, there are a huge number of properties online at the moment, the highest that have been in 10 years. And if your property is not presented to its best possible standards, you will get fewer viewings. If you get fewer viewings, you get fewer offers. So I think that's a really important thing to consider.
But that's, again, down to your agents. So your agents spend a lot of time in different properties. And they should be, and if they weren't, they should be there when the photographer is there. Photographers are great. Like, they take photos of properties every single day. But there'll be key features of every property that need to be highlighted. And every angle that you think, oh, if I bought it, I'd like to see it from this angle. It just really showcases the view into the garden, or the ensuite as well in the main bedroom. So that's something that needs to be. The agent should be there for the photography in this current market, because that's part of the whole process. You should be. Like, we had the other day when the property were about to launch, we were there. Then the photographer turns up. Photographer does all the photos. Then as soon as they leave, the videographer arrived. We got all the videos taken, and then we all left, and now we're getting ready to present it.
But when we were there, we weren't just standing and watching the photographer. I was working with the photographer to talk to her about what the best angles were. I showed them the photos of the previous listing that the other agent had taken, and I explained what I didn't like about them and how it made the room feel. And we then came up with a new way of taking photos to ensure that we did show off how high the ceilings were, that we did ensure that you could see how spacious the rooms were, that you could see how large the windows were. And then I also helped stage it. So in the hallway, for example, of the house that we photographed, there were quite a few coats. It was all very tidy. There was a lovely bunch of flowers and there was a lovely plant on the floor, but there were quite a few coats hanging up. And they also had a really lovely hat, you know, the sort of hat that men wear when they go to the cricket. And so I removed quite a few of the coats. I left one of her really lovely, simple, colourful scarves up there, one of the lovely hats, and cleared kind of everything else away apart from the plants. And the photo was really lovely in the end, and it had such a nice feel. And instead of it kind of looking just like a normal hallway with quite a few dark coats hanging up and a couple of hats stacked on top of each other, it just was styled. And so something that simple can make a really big difference to how a home is presented. We also had a situation where in the downstairs, sort of next to the dining area, there was a table that just had a tablecloth on and had a printer. And that's obviously where someone who lives there works. And that doesn't photograph particularly well, just kind of having a printer on a table, kind of close to a dining area. And so we shifted the printer. I said to the photographer, does that not look quite right? And she was like, yeah, it doesn't look right. And so we actually shifted it and she was more than happy to help me. But because I was there and because I put the effort in, the photos were so much better than had been previously taken. And the owner was so thrilled, really thrilled. And suddenly her confidence started to build and she started to have more positive, you know, energy around relaunching her property. So if you are thinking of moving agents, ask them how they do the photography and if they turn up on the day, because I think that makes a huge difference to the outcome of the photography and how well your property is marketed online. Okay, so you also started to talk about what I think is the experience that someone has when they come to look at a property. So this is talking about, we're selling a property for, let's just say, Mrs. Smith, and we've got two people, a couple coming to see the property. And so what we always question is, what sort of wow moment can we provide that potential buyer with when they turn up at the property? So what kind of experience can we give them that makes them have a really enjoyable time, first and foremost? And second of all, how can we create that wow moment when they walk into the property or turn up to the property or go into the best room or whatever that is? And so what, like, do you remember we were just talking, we were just at a property the other day and we talked about the gate and things like that? Do you want to just kind of discuss that? Because that was your idea, which was a really good idea.
So there's one of the properties we're at the other day, there's off-street parking. So it's not a busy road, but there's not too many spots that come up.
Well, parking in Southwest London can be competitive at times.
Yeah, but this has off-street parking. So part of the whole experience is making sure that you're there before the viewing takes place, the person arrives, the buyer, and you make sure the gates are open for them so they can go straight in and park.
Well, I mean, I love the idea of, like, find out if they're driving first.
Yeah.
And then as they're pulling up, press the button, the gate opens and they can drive straight in. Yeah. That's like almost experiencing the home before they've even moved in. And in Southwest London, that is not easy to come by in any way, shape or form. So before they've even set foot in the property, they're like, this is nice. I think we're driving straight in. Oh, look, we can unload the car straight in. Oh, we don't have to fight for parking anywhere.
We can close the gates. The kid can't get out onto the street.
Totally. You don't have to pay for a residence permit necessarily. So it's always thinking about what experience can we give the potential buyer to make sure that they fully understand how great this property is. And it could also be like master bedroom, like perhaps you have the
principal bedroom.
Perhaps you have the door closed and so then you open it and they get that wow moment of, oh, wow, this is really nice. And I think that's really important. And we all know how good Rory is at talking, particularly on viewings. And I think that's also good, is the feedback you get from people you show properties around for is, oh, they feel they need to be quite fast in how they look around properties and they don't want to take up your time. Where I think you always make people feel like they've got all the time in the world to have a look around, ask any questions. You can look around more than once. Because you just had that at quite a lovely home that was a multi-million pound home that was selling in Kew.
Yeah, the lady was saying that on some viewings that, you know, she feels like the agent wants them in and out, and then are you going to make an offer? We're talking about a £4.5 million house. That viewing was an hour and a half. It's not the smallest property, and there's lots of bits, moving parts to the house and what you could do, the detail that they've renovated it already. The owner was there, so they were chatting, but it's not like I'm clock watching and going, right, well, I've allocated you a half an hour and that's it. And she appreciated that. And it was pouring with rain, so she was on the underground, so I dropped her back to the underground station, and we chatted in the car on the way back and sat there, and then we arranged a second viewing for her husband, and we did her diaries at the same time. But it was that experience. She was very happy because we'd spent time at the property and she really got to see it and detailed. And that's not just for four and a half, but any property you go to, that's part of the experience. And what also happens is when you're on viewings, as an agent, you're collecting the information from the buyers. So some of them will say, oh, if only this had, you know, a door here to open up into the kitchen, you know, that you can, you know, gone off experience, you can knock it. And if it's a stud wall, you should be able to open up potentially.
But I think that the point is that you're listening and you're having conversations with someone on a viewing, and you're asking them questions like, is there something about this that doesn't quite work for you? And if they might say, oh, I don't like that there isn't a door for a separate living room, at that point you've got the knowledge, the skills and the expertise to go knocking on that door and saying, oh, actually this is just a stud wall, so you actually would be able to knock in here, and then you could put some really nice glass doors here, and then you can separate it. Or okay, well, if we then start getting a lot of feedback about that, or that the kitchen's small, or the kitchen's not in the right place, you can potentially get that mocked up. So, and the costs mocked up. So what would it cost to move the kitchen, for example, from the back of the house to the front, or vice versa? So when we're on our next viewing, we can say to someone, if they also feel that this is a concern to them, or this is something that they don't like, well, we've had this drawn up, and to move the plumbing here, and to move the kitchen here, or to build a new kitchen here, you're looking at anywhere between 40 and 80. I mean, depending on the kitchen, it can go up a lot. But generally, let's say around £50,000. And just so you know, we have actually scoped that into the price of the sale price. It all feels more achievable, and they understand what their costs are. And then they can start to fall in love with what the vision of that place can be.
Yeah.
And that's what our job is as an agent, or anyone's agent, is to listen to honest feedback, have honest conversations with people that are viewing these properties, be able to kind of resolve some of those problems at the time, or come up with solutions. And if they are recurring problems, have an honest conversation with someone that's selling and saying, this is how we think we should manage it. Okay. Is there anything else that you think a seller should be thinking about if their property's been on the market for 3 or 4 months?
I think it's the one bit that you constantly hear is the feedback. They don't have feedback for the property. Mm-hmm. I know we've kind of discussed lots of it, like bits of it there, which is you get the feedback for ourselves as the agent, and our job is then you know, you should always have an answer or potential answer to the negative that someone may have for the property, whatever that may be.
The answer for the viewer, you mean?
Yeah, but yeah. Also with the feedback, it's okay, well, say Southwest London, there's the, I don't know, aircrafts that fly over. None of us can get away from it. None of us can change it.
No, that's true.
And depending on where you live, but also where you live is have it's louder or quieter. But also on certain days, they come from a different direction. Or certain times of day, they come one direction and they come from another direction. So yeah. They're not constant. So it's understanding that. And it's not hiding away from it. It's addressing it so that people are aware of it. Because if they come back the next day for a second viewing and the aircraft's going flying right over, you know, that's going to be a deemed as a negative. But then you're close to an airport, so it's a positive. You can go on holiday.
Yeah, exactly. And if you know like how often they do come directly over house, you can kind of help manage that. It's not like it's 7 days a week, 24/7. So you just have to kind of inform the potential buyer that this, you
know. A lot of time you don't. What you find is, or what we find when we're, you know, we generally, as the way that we are currently, and this will hopefully change, we're the secondary agent a lot of the time. So someone has already been trying to sell it. So we had the second conversation with the owners. And a big part of ours is our sort of discussion is trying to correct potential mistakes that the other agent have made and the negativity that they may have put onto the property or the owner by working out an action plan. And that's the important part is people, I can't sell my property. Like, we're not getting any offers. Okay, well, let's look at it. Why? You know, if we did this, would we get an offer? Do we think it's realistic price? You know, we don't have a magic, we have a lot of data that can tell. But at the moment, you know, people are offering 15, 20% less when I may have said on one of these previous podcasts, in the past, everyone Googles it and it says offer 10% less than the asking price. Then you'll get, I think it was Rightmove stats, it was like 5.6% agreed last year. So 5% below the asking price is the average. That's no longer the case. People are now offering 10 to 20% less because it's been sitting on the market. It may be higher priced. All of these scenarios come into it. But these are honest conversations to have with the owners.
Absolutely. And it's difficult because, you know, people have the choice to take their property off the market and hold it for a bit longer and see how the market does change. Because we are seeing a little bit of the sort of bargain hunters coming along the market looking to kind of get a good deal, which generally would happen when you start to see a 15 to 20% drop in property prices. So there are a lot of properties on the market, but I think you are going to start to see a lot of buyers or investors that are thinking, oh, okay, what can I get here? And so depending on the type of flat, house, apartment, building, whatever it is that you're trying to sell, there could be a bit of a market there to kind of get a buyer in and get a deal done. The only thing we didn't talk about as well is withdrawing that property online. So if your property's been on the market for quite a long time, one of the options is to take it off the market. And that's something that, you know, we would recommend on some occasions if it's been on particularly for 6, 7, 8+ months, because quite a few buyers have seen it sitting for a long time. And when it sits there for a long time, they start to think, oh gosh, what's wrong with this? There's something structural going on, or there is something really wrong with this, which is why it hasn't been on the market for a while. And so we recommend to take it off, give it a month or two, depending on the seller's personal needs. They might need to sell it quickly. So maybe it's just a quick turnaround for a month. Give that notice into the agent, have it a month off the market. Let's redo the photography. Let's make it look different. We can even stage it if we need to. We can do some virtual staging if we need to, or we can just come in and do some light touches that would make a difference. Get a videography in, get a videographer in, get a beautiful video done that's engaging, full of energy, like bring a new lease of life to that listing, and then relaunch it and go for it and see what happens from there. On a lot of occasions, you may have to reduce that price to get that real buzz and to get people's attention. But people then think, have I seen this before? Oh no, maybe I haven't. And then they will click on it and organize a viewing. So as we're agents, we want to sell homes. That's what we're here to do. But really, to do that effectively and to get the best price for the seller, you do need to take it off the market sometimes and give it a complete fresh look and just like re-energize it, get a bit of vigor back onto the listing.
I think also part of that is, and we had this the other day, where as an agent, we sometimes have to have those difficult conversations and to do a price reduction, I think, or a price improvement, as the wonderful world is at the moment, buzzword at the moment, is you almost have to be, I don't want to say aggressive with the price improvement reduction.
Mm-hmm.
It is a reduction at the end of the day. But you're actually, if you are too tentative with it, it has no real impact. So, for example, we'll go on the price point just because of Rightmove, and it's a good way of doing it. If a property's on at 1.25 million, okay, the next price drop is 1 million. So on the searches, it's £1 million. Now, if it's on at 1.25 and people want to reduce it, someone will say, okay, we'll put it on 1.15. Great. It's still the same search criteria for the person looking at 1.25. What you may want to do is go offer in excess of 1 million. Because you have every single buyer at 1 million looking at it then. And like we've had on many occasions, some buyers can find a little bit more money. Not everybody, obviously, depending on price points, etc., etc. But you find your dream home, you can come up in a price. Or, you know, 1 million is the ideal scenario. And then suddenly you can find a little bit more. And then a deal can be done. So, but that conversation sometimes doesn't happen. That's where we come in. And sometimes, you know, we'll lose out potentially on properties because we're realistic on the strategy and the pricing. And we'll say, okay, that's fine. We've walked away from many in the last 18 months. We've walked away from many properties to say, okay. And we've watched them sit online. And we say, fine, we'll come back and speak to you in the future. Or we have other ones that we know the strategy and the pricing is very close to where it should be. And just a little adjustment will get you more interest. But they're happy with their agents. Their agents are happy, but they've had it for 6 months and not sold it. You know? It's one of those ones that you want to have those conversations. And you've got to adjust your price to catch the buyer in this market. And we're here to have conversations, everybody. I've been advising people that are not based in London with their families, homes that are not the friends and, you know, recommendations, and been advising the parents of friends to say, this is where you might want to go. Or these are the agents locally you might want to speak to, because I've just done some research and found these are the ones that actively work harder to sell a property from what it seems online. They've got the listings, they've sold properties. You know, it's great to have lots of listings, but I'd rather have fewer listings and more sales.
Absolutely, well said. Okay, so I suppose just to recap where we're at is, it is currently early September 2025. We are absolutely seeing things picking up, which is really positive. Everyone's back from their summer holidays. Kids are back at school. Woohoo! And you know, this is still London. People still want to move. They still need to move. They're moving in and out of London all the time. So there are always buyers out there and there are always sellers out there. And I think you've still got to be positive about where everything's moving. This is still London. And we're seeing things pick up really nicely. And yeah, I think if anyone is just really unsure and needs some advice, I think, of course, we'd recommend to get in touch. Even if your properties aren't in London, we'd be really happy just to give a bit of advice and chat through your situation.
And if not, we have a good contact list. We can put you in contact with somebody potentially locally that could help you and give you good advice.
Yeah. And I think on a personal note, in terms of Barnes Putney kind of vibes.
Sheen,
of course. It is autumn, is on its way. Rory is chairman of the minis at Roslyn Rugby Club, and we are.
Should we start again with your whole thing there?
Okay, you take over. You go for it, Rory.
I don't really know, but you're one.
I think it's good just to promote that it's the start of the new season at Roslyn Park Rugby Club.
Roslyn Park, not Roslyn Rugby Club. Just
yep, and I think we're looking for a few more recruits, is that right, to join the rugby under the minis?
Yeah, the season starts this weekend, officially. We've got everything from the pups, which we sponsor, which is preschool, all the way through to the under-18s, effectively, which is the youth section. But in the minis, we've got kids starting school that are coming to join for the first session. We've got everything through to under 11s, who are the sort of top of the mini section, all looking for new players. So if you're listening to this and you've got kids who are interested in rugby, then get in touch. We'd be happy to get them involved. If you're amazing parents and you want to coach,
yeah,
we'd
exactly.
Also, we're volunteers at the end of the day. Yeah, we'll get some volunteers down there. Come down.
And then I am recruiting for girls football. I run a girls football team, which is currently year 2 and 3, called the Sparkle Strikers. And we're looking to grow a girls' football league, which is five-a-side football on a Friday. It's called NS5. So go to the website. If you are a parent and your kids go to a local school and you want to get your girl playing football or your daughter playing football.
There's other boys can play this as well.
Particularly pushing on the girls' league. We would love some other girls from local schools to have a team to come along. I know it can be a bit of a difficult sell for girls that aren't currently playing. But what it really is about is girls hanging out with their friends on a Friday. It builds the most wonderful team spirit. And all what needs to happen is the girls turn up and feel like the best players in the world. And as a coach, you're totally able to do that. It's just encouraging them and saying how brilliant they are when they play. And you see their confidence grow. Once they start scoring goals and start doing some really good things, they absolutely love it.
Do you want to explain what they're allowed to do when they score? Not before?
Oh, so when my girls score a goal, they are allowed to do a team cartwheel all the way back up the pitch. And we had to do that because they were doing cartwheels mid-match and just losing concentration and conceding goals because they were doing a cartwheel instead of defending. So we made up a rule where as soon as they score a goal, they can do cartwheels up the pitch. It's wonderful. It's so lovely. So please do get in touch. I think it's ns5.com or .co.uk, or just put it into Google. You'll find it.
Or contact you.
Or contact me. Please just DM me, call me. We would love to have more of a girls team. So please get involved. Okay. Great. Well, that is that episode wrapped up. Thanks, Ros.
Thanks. See ya.
Need to work on that. Okay, great.